Victor Wainwright knows a thing or two about destinations. We're told he attended Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Daytona Beach and ended up with a bachelor's degree and an FAA assignment in Memphis, where he took to the tower as an air traffic controller, working to help planes and passengers get to their destinations safely. But that was not to be his destiny. Oh, sure, travel's still a big part of his life, but it's not the reason he gets up in the morning. "My daddy calls me a $100,000 keyboard player," he told Marty Gunther in 2014, referring to the salary he could have earned for guiding planes to the ground. Instead, the blues beckoned, and now he's on the road nearly 300 days a year with, you might say, his destination, blues. We also learn that Victor is a native of Savannah and the son and grandson of folks who, in his terms, get paid to play the piano. Dad and granddaddy have worked professionally out of their North Georgia homes, gigging occasionally in neighboring states. By age 8, Victor was accompanying them, often serving as a roadie, helping load and unload keyboards and amplifiers, and occasionally getting a chance to sit in. "I was learning from them at home," said Victor. "They'd bring me up on stage some. My grandfather Jesse was the man. He taught me how to play. And my father, he encouraged me and taught me how to sing. It was the perfect balance of blues on Saturday night to church on Sunday. Sin to salvation. That's the whole history of it all." Words of Victor Wainwright from an interview with Blues Blast magazine in 2014. As it happens, Victor Wainwright's destination this weekend is Bloomsburg, and literally, Destination Blues. He's the headliner for the 5th annual blues music festival, Destination Blues, February 16th, 17th, and 18th in Columbia and Montour counties. Orrin Helbach, executive director of the Exchange in downtown Bloomsburg, and Richard Briggs, award-winning founder and producer of the annual Briggs Farm Blues Festival, have been working together on the event since its inception, and they stopped in at the WVIA studios to fill us in on this year's festival and give us a bit of the background. Orrin Helbach.
We have a county commissioner in Columbia County, Chris Young, who's a big fan of the blues. And he, of course, would like to see live music going all the time. Also is interested in having the hotels and the restaurants in the counties in Columbia and Montour counties have them have business year-round. And at the time that it's slowest, in February, he said, "Hey, let's do a festival. We'll bring people in from out of town. They'll fill the restaurants and hotels." And we said, "Okay."
Has this worked out, the vision that Chris Young had?
It has. At this point, it's not perhaps at the vast scale that we would like it to be. But last year, we did have visitors from 8 states and the District of Columbia, obviously in addition to the locals. So we are not tracking thousands of people from out of state, but we are certainly getting people who are coming here from hundreds of miles away for this festival, and they are staying in hotels and eating in the restaurants and leaving money behind, which is exactly what the festival is about.
And when you chose the name, it turned out to be very appropriate, didn't it? Because you want it to be a destination, and it's developing certainly into that.
Absolutely. Destination Blues, Victor Coons from Danville at the time was on the Exchange board, and we worked with him on both the name and the logo for the festival. It was a few of us sitting around in Victor's office one day just throwing out names, and Destination Blues came along. We said, "Yeah, that sounds right. That will work." The tagline that goes with it originally was "Your Winter Blues Heaven on Route 11." And now, because of the listening room and the other things that we've done, we are your year-round blues heaven on Route 11.
Since last year, we've started something called the Listening Room in Bloomsburg. So that's a monthly music show for its solo and acoustic artists in the Exchange Art Gallery. So it's a very nice setting. It's BYOB, and it's called the Listening Room because it's basically set to listen to music. So it's a very nice event, and it's been packed since day one.
Yep, we've done 7 of them. We started in July of 2017. We do them the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock in the Exchange Gallery, which is a space when the Moose Exchange started all those years ago, when we had that huge building, we, of course, had lots of venues for music. After the fire, we moved into a small space on Main Street. It never occurred to us that we would do music there. And when Richard had initially suggested a listening room, which that suggestion goes back at least a year, mm-hmm. We thought, we're not sure how this will work. It turns out we have a space where the acoustics are really good. And we have 48 chairs. We pretty much fill them every month. Mm-hmm. People come to listen to the music. And in that small space, the intimate space that we have, the relationship between the musician or musicians, we've had as many as three musicians, and the audience is just terrific. People talk back and forth. It's fun. It's really wonderful.
In a bar or even a restaurant kind of situation where there's music, people are doing something else. The music is secondary a lot of the time. And when you're listening to music and the musician's right in front of you, it's a situation where you share with each other. You know, there's some communication as well as just listening. So it's very, very cool.
So this has really taken, if we'll pardon that pun then, taken root, this idea of live music, mm-hmm. not just in July, not just in February or Billtown. It's year-round, maybe on a smaller scale and not festival-like every month, but the music is there and the audience is growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I've got a playbill in my hand for Destination Blues for the 5th annual. And that wasn't the way it was when you started out. This has really developed into, again, something very significant, and it looks like it's here to stay. So what happened after Chris Young said, let's do a festival? Did it have to be blues?
That was his suggestion at the beginning. And one of the things that we've heard both from Richard and from Bonnie Tolman at the Billtown Blues Association, as music festivals go, if we put on a music festival and just call it a music festival, it's hard to get a crowd to show up, especially because we did not have the budget to have some enormous headliner. But if we say blues festival, there's a very particular audience who will come out for that. So it's obviously important that we get very good musicians, but as soon as we put blues on it, there are people who are just, it's like a magnet for them.
And you've found that over the years, Richard, your audience has not only been sustained in all the decades, but your audience just grows and grows for the Briggs Farm Festival.
Yeah, Briggs Farm, we definitely have people who have been there for 20 years. And they come back every year. But we also have people that say, well, I haven't been there yet, but I'm coming this year. So there's still a lot of people out there discovering what live music can do for their world. And it's definitely something that once you do learn, you know, how it feels to be involved in music and live music, it's something you want to return to.
Well, it makes sense, Oren, for you all to draw on the talents and the expertise of Richard. You reach out to him in that way?
Oh, absolutely. Richard is responsible for doing all the booking for the festival. Richard knows the musicians, knows the bands in a way that I may never. And there's no question that without Richard at the beginning, this festival would not be anything.
We know you're on the farm, Richard, with your festival, but how did you conceive of Destination Blues in terms of venues?
Well, there are a lot of places within Columbia and Montour counties that do music regularly, and those are the places. This year we have a total of 18 venues over the course of the 3 days in Columbia and Montour, most of them bars and restaurants, and then also the Caldwell Consistory in downtown Bloomsburg. That was what took the place of the Moose Exchange. In fact, as the Moose Exchange was burning on that Thursday afternoon 4 years ago, one of my board members was on the phone to the consistory saying, hey, we have a blues festival in a week and a half. Do you have a space? And they did. So we've been there ever since. But the geographic spread of the festival, it's Berwick, Bloomsburg, and Danville. We have, again, bars and restaurants both in the downtowns and a little bit to the outskirts. Once again this year, we're doing free buses on the Friday. So those venues happen for the most part on Friday afternoon and evening. We have three different bus loops free for anybody to get on and go to all of these venues with no cover charge at any.
Richard, have you approached booking for Destination Blues in generally the same way each year? Or have you learned some things about this audience that comes in February and adjusted to what's happening on the scene at large?
The first thing that comes to mind when you ask that question was, yeah, we learned that people don't want to stay out as late in the winter. You know, they want to get going. So when we had at Briggs Farm, we're still going at midnight. But in the winter, I think people are ready to head home around 10:30 or so. So we've adjusted that. We've become earlier, and we know that people are in town and don't want to have to drive a whole lot. So we have the buses taking them from hotels, and also we start off on Saturday, which is our main day, with a blues lunch and a breakfast and all that kind of stuff. So it's a full day event on Saturday and a full weekend that we have set up now. So the main thing is we've adjusted times. The bands have been very similar in that we have the national acts every year, and then we have very exciting regional and East Coast bands in the downstairs, and We've adjusted our food and beer a little bit, but other than that, it's been working well. People are happy and satisfied when they come.
Well, Richard, who's this intriguing fellow at the keyboard?
Well, the headliner on Saturday at the Caldwell Consistory in downtown Bloomsburg is Victor Wainwright. And he's one of the best live performers in the blues world these days. He's a very passionate entertainer, a very high-octane, dynamic entertainer, and he's a crowd pleaser. His singing is very full of soul blues, and people love him.
I play my music with heart and hands. I'm making good living in a roadhouse band. We love to play, our aim is true. Hitting the groove, that's what we do. Sisters and brothers, spread the news. The roots are coming to lay down the blues. And a boogie style with a down-home strut. Straight from the heart and straight from the gut. Way down deep and have the truth be told. If it ain't got soul.
It looks like he loves this.
He's a character, yeah. And he's been at Briggs Farm, and he's been at Billtown. So people in the area know him, and they'll be there especially to see him. And that will be a great, great thing to not miss this year is Victor Wainwright upstairs in the Masonic Theater. It's about a 100-year-old theater. It's a really beautiful place to listen to and watch music. And, of course, Rock Street does the sound, so the sound's always excellent.
What did you say about his nickname, Savannah?
Piana from Savannah. He's originally from Savannah, Georgia. Lives in Memphis, I believe, now.
Nashville. Memphis or someplace else.
And I love the fact, Richard, that you, in the course of all your decades as a blues producer, have gone, actually penetrated down to the Delta and heard whoever's left and gone to the last juke joint and all of those things. So it's not just that you pick up the phone and call. You really have a working relationship. You go to Memphis and you've been honored by the Blues Foundation.
Yes, that's become a big part of my life and actually Allison's life too, my wife, because we do listen to music as much as possible. And we're going out to San Francisco in March, and there are bands there that we'll be going to see. And we were just down in Memphis. And then we're also going to see Tedeschi Trucks and the National Reserve, who's playing at the Kirby. And so we're just always a part of what's going on. And I think that's important for a live music event to see music and make that connection live, because that's really what it is.
And we always have talked at this table about the balance. So you have a keyboard artist like Victor Wainwright with the soul blues sound, but you also have different types of blues, because it's not just the blues. There are all kinds of styles under that umbrella. What other kinds of things will we get to hear this time at Destination?
Well, there are a lot of young people that are connected, a lot of artists that are connected to the blues, and Americana and jam bands are all coming out of the blues. And so we always try to include that. Vanessa Collier is one. She's very young. She's 27 years old. Very multi-talented, charismatic. A lot of people do know her now, too. And she's been, since we had her at Destination before. And since then, she's traveled the world. So a lot of people are looking forward to seeing her. That'll be on the main stage right before Victor. Before that, on the main stage, we have a band called Mississippi Heat. They're more of a traditional style with a good connection to Mississippi Delta area, but they do come from Chicago, so they have that Chicago sound too. So that's our main stage lineup for Saturday, and we're really very excited about seeing that. And the whole time that that is going on, we also have the downstairs stage, and that's where all the beer and the food is, and a lot of dancing goes on down there. So we have four bands on the downstairs stage. Starting first is 3rd Street from Williamsport. They're our youth showcase band this year. Just saw them down in Memphis when I was there last month. So they got to go on a trip down to Memphis. And Dustin Douglas and the Electric Gentlemen are also playing. They're a local band. He's a fantastic performer, a guitar player. He's been here at VIA. He's very active and a great guy to have in our community as an artist. Bobby Kyle and the Ministers, they're from New York. And they also help Oren out with the blues in the classroom. And so he'll be there with a horn section. That's all downstairs. And also a new act to the area, Ursula Ricks Project. She's a female-fronted soul blues band. It's going to be a great dancing band. That's one of the main reasons I put these bands together is because somebody's always dancing in the downstairs anyhow. So that's what's going on. And so we have them mixed up. The bands play twice each through the night. Yeah, so it's a mixture from 3:15 to 10:15, and that's all at the Caldwell on Saturday.
So that means you can go upstairs, you can go downstairs, and you might not miss...
That's one of the things a festival is that you get to experience a lot of different things. You can pick and choose to what you really want to sit down and listen to, but there's always a bit of discovery involved, musical discovery.
Do you ever get a chance, Oren, to listen to the music?
No, fortunately, there's a large group of volunteers who keep the festival going. And at the consistory on Saturday, I will introduce most of the bands and then take pictures. So I'm working, but I do get to enjoy the music, too.
And what happens to these pictures?
They end up on our Facebook page, on our website. As Richard had also mentioned, the Blues in the Schools program that we do, the Backstage Pass to the Blues, I photograph those as well. We've been to 10 schools in 4 counties in the last couple of years, have performed for about 4,000 students. If all of the people who came to the festival got a chance to come in and saw these schools' presentations, they're ever so much more so. Bobby Kyle last year, he came with us. John Sweeney, who's one of the volunteers who keeps the festival going and who also has a band in the festival. Last year, Bobby joined John's band at St. Joseph's Catholic School in Danville. They did a day. John and Tom Rosenkrantz and Bobby came in and with the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th grade classes did presentations for these kids. And as intimate as the listening room is, it's even more so in a little classroom with half a dozen kids and these three great musicians. Well, then they all came back with the full band and they did a performance in, I believe it was March. We had a series of snow days and they eventually got in and did it. They had the entire school up and dancing, 125 kids. I've got a friend whose children all attend the school, and I texted him that afternoon. I said, when your kids come home today, don't ask them. Just let's see if they say anything about what happened today. Bob texted me later that afternoon. The kids came home, burst in the door. They said, we had the best assembly at school today, and that guy in the hat who plays the guitar, he was great. That's Bobby. He has that charisma where at every age he is immensely appealing, just a wonderful performer. And for these kids who may not have had any experience with the blues at all, here they find out, A, this is great music, B, it makes me feel happy, and they will be the next generation of blues lovers.
That's a tremendous program then. What happens, Richard, on Friday when we can take the bus?
So the main event is Saturday, but surrounding that, we have two other great things going on. The first one is Friday night, and we have venues available in Berwick, Danville, and Bloomsburg. So you could spend your night going around to as many as possible, or you can just go to one of them. I mean, I will try to get to as many as I can, but a lot of my friends are just going to Light Street to listen to Gabe Stillman, and they'll just stay there. So, I mean, it's just probably in any of the restaurants or venues that you normally go to, there'll be music. And that's what this is about, just to expose people to blues and live music. And so Friday night starts usually around, what do we got? First one is around 4:30. And we go until midnight. This year we have, I think the first venue would be Turkey Hill. Usually it's Turkey Hill Brewing Company. A lot of people start out there. You can pick up our schedule or go online and print out the schedule and give you an idea of where you can pick and choose. I would recommend, well, Gabe Stillman is a good one, but also Dave Brown. He's from the Dishonest Fiddlers. It is the first time for him playing at our festival, and I think a lot of people are going to like him. That's at Marley's Brewery on Route 11, right outside of Bloomsburg. Sean Farley played at our listening room and put on a fantastic show. Everybody was raving about that. He'll be playing at Rosemary's, which is right behind the Exchange on Main Street. So all these addresses and all that, all the information on when people play at the different venues, you can pick up a program, but you can also go online to see that. And that's happening all Friday evening. And then on the other end of the festival is our Sunday Gospel. It's a free event, and it's at the Wesley United Methodist Church on the corner of 3rd and Market Street in downtown Bloomsburg. It's a beautiful old church. We have Dave Keyes as the keyboard player, and he's also bringing Aretha Reddy and J.T. Brown with him. They're both soul blues gospel singers from Brooklyn. And a very special choir put together from Bloomsburg area.
Are you singing, Oren?
I will be singing again this year. We have, as we've done this will be the fourth year that we've done with a local choir. We just put out the word, anyone who's interested in singing. And we get people from a broad area in Columbia and Montour and beyond. This year, there's some chance we may even get some of the gospel choir from Bloomsburg University. That has been my hope from the very beginning, that we can get not only a broad range of people from a broad area, but a broad age range. And the BU Gospel Choir would be a terrific addition. We had our first rehearsal this week with Dave. It's a tough time of year to try to get everyone in one place at one time, so we had a relatively small group this past Tuesday. We'll be coming again next Thursday with other people. It really doesn't take much. Go through these songs once, and we can do a job that is really wonderful. As I say, it is a joyful noise. And in that church, with a large group of choir members and then obviously a much larger audience, it's just tremendously exciting to be a part of at on either side of the microphone.
It's very inspirational. It always is. You know, it's a very emotionally inspirational situation in the church on Sunday afternoon listening to Southern gospel music. It's pretty cool. And it definitely speaks to blues music and the origins of blues music. And a lot of the blues artists that are performing today come out of a gospel training in the church. So it starts out in the bars and then the theater and then church the next day.
Yes.
When you talked about the food, will we get to sample some things that might be blues?
Yes.
Food?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, there is barbecue. Big Dan's Barbecue is at the Caldwell Consistory on Saturday night. And Dave Dick from Bloomsburg from Takeouts, he will also have. So I believe he's doing jambalaya for us on Saturday at the Consistory. And then, in addition, we will have the usual craft beers from the local breweries, as well as some national beers, too, for people who may be not quite as adventurous. There'll also be wine, local coffee.
And 5 years. Did you think you'd be here when you were sitting around that table? Could you imagine this?
I don't think we did. At the very first year, we had much less planned. On the Friday, we had the 4 brew pubs in Columbia and Montour County, and then on Saturday at the Consistory, and that was it. So it has grown considerably since. With the addition of the listening room and backstage pass, it's become a much larger part of what the Exchange does year-round, and I think a much larger and more important part of the cultural scene in this area.
Oren, you have often paired an art exhibit on the blues or blueness with this. Is that happening this year too?
That is. The blues show, we have the third annual blues show is at the Exchange Gallery at 24 East Main Street in Bloomsburg. This year we have more than 100 pieces by 50 artists from 9 counties in Pennsylvania. People just love the idea of this. And because we're very free with the way the artist can interpret it, we say it can be blues music, it can be feeling blue, it can be the color blue, it can be blues clues, whatever blue is to you. We also, in Bloomsburg, there's a small independent preschool called the Ideas Studio for Children. Lisa Dorschler, who runs that, builds some of our themes, our show themes, into her curriculum. And once again this year, there's work from, I believe it's 8 or 9 of her students, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, in the blues show. What the children think of when they think of blue.
So we can, if we're in town, we can hear blues music and visit the show too.
Yes. And one additional new thing that's come to the festival this year from Lewisburg, Stories on Tap. It's a live storytelling event that happens periodically in Lewisburg. This year, they will be doing an event at the Exchange Gallery on the Saturday of the festival from 1 until 3 o'clock. So right before people go to the Consistory, there will be live storytelling in the Exchange Gallery surrounded by the blues show. There'll be people telling stories on what blue means to them. Also, a very broad theme can be feeling blue, the color blue, however blue works. And I just found out this week, it will be an open mic if any of them have written a song that fits, they're welcome to bring that too.
I think people may want to know where to get tickets, and they can do that online at destinationblues.org. And they can also get them at the door when they come to the Caldwell Consistory.
Yes, everything else is free. The only ticketed event is the main event at the Consistory. That'll be seven bands on the two stages over the course of 8 hours. It's a lot of music. It's really fun.
Well, I think people are happy to get out in the winter and see their friends and do some dancing and listen to great music.
Hellbach, Executive Director of the Exchange in downtown Bloomsburg, and Richard Briggs, award-winning founder and producer of the annual Briggs Farm Blues Festival in Neskapec, speaking with us about the fifth annual Destination Blues Music Festival this weekend, February 16th, 17th, and 18th in Columbia and Montour counties, destinationblues.org. Saturday, the headliner, Victor Wainwright and the Train.
That's what we do. Sisters and brothers, spread the news. The roots are coming to lay down the blues.
Victor Wainwright, Blues Music Association Pine Top Perkins Piano Player of the Year in 2013, 2014, and 2017. The 2016 BMA B.B. King Entertainer and Band of the Year as well. And that's Saturday, February 17th at 9 p.m. on the auditorium stage at the Caldwell Consistory, 150 North Market Street in Bloomsburg. Vanessa Collier at 7 on that stage, and at 5, Mississippi Heat. There's a downstairs stage with Third Street Blues, Dustin Douglas and the Electric Gentlemen, Bobby Kyle and the Administers, and also Ursula Ricks. And that's a rotating stage downstairs at the Consistory on Saturday, February 17th. For more information about the events Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, online, destinationblues.org, destinationblues.org.
It don't roll. I'm all the masters that came before. Led the way, opened up that door. Aretha, Brother Ray, James Brown, the King. And I don't knew that one essential thing. You gotta play what you...
The fifth annual Destination Blues Music Festival, your winter blues heaven on Route 11, February 16th, 17th, and 18th in Columbia and Montour counties. For more information on the web, destinationblues.org.
If it ain't got soul, it don't roll.